The bridegroom cometh. And what happened to the virgins? Well, the five that were ready went out to meet him. They went out to meet him. And that is, they went forward to do their service. They took their lamps out and lit the way. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if I find it already kindled? The witnesses will do their witnessing. We will go out and meet the Messiah. And we will meet him with lamps burning. We will kindle the fire. Boy, what a way to meet the Savior, to lay your life down. Their bodies will lie in the street of the city, and to be raised on the last day. Having been among the last to die of all his servants. The last shall be first, and the first last. We don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. That reminds me of 1 John chapter 2.
Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. You know, recently I was doing a little research, and I noticed someone had written something about, and I don't do a lot of this, but lately I am doing it. Someone had written on 1 John 3 how that, and I cite 1 John 3 all the time, so this is worth mentioning. You know, how that the, when it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, or he that is born of God doth not commit sin. It means to commit habitually. Like, we don't habitually sin. And my thought is, well, I don't see how that really impacts anything in that passage. And so, because it also says, little children, don't let someone deceive you. He that does righteousness, and I assume that's probably the same word, habitually, is righteous. Yeah, we have to put on the habits of righteousness and put off the habits of sin. And of course, it doesn't mean that, like, if we, after we accept the Lord, that if we sin again, oh, we're done for. No, I never said that. What I'm saying is we're going towards sinlessness. That's the direction we're moving. We should be getting closer and closer to that state. You know, we don't make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We don't want to do that. Because God has provided us a way of escape. The grace of God, the bringing of salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. In this present world. What is that? To live habitually as righteously, godly, and... I mean, why is this habitual? They're using it to try to wiggle, to try to get out of it. That's an evil conscience. They don't love the truth. They read that passage, and they're like, oh, no, that can't be. I didn't receive that the moment I believed. That can't be true because God knows I'm perfect. I don't need anything further. I don't need any further improvements. Yes, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, that perfecting, it means completing. Okay. I always love when people say, well, perfect means to complete. Like, yeah, I know that. I thought you knew that too. I guess we should have set up an agreement that two synonymous words have the same meaning. I mean, what would that, let's complete holiness. Okay. Let's perfect holiness. There's a difference, is there? I guess because perfect is almost like a bad word. You know, at least in the vernacular. You're not supposed to claim that. And I'm fine with that, man. Let's complete righteousness. I just want to make sure I complete it. You know? I want to become complete.
I want to become the complete image of Christ. So you're saying if I just stop using the word perfect, everyone's going to say like, oh, wow, that's acceptable.
I don't see really any difference. But I wanted to mention that about 1 John 3. Because I hadn't thought about it in years. I remember when someone had said that to me years ago, and I had accepted it. But when you read the entire thrust of the passage, it becomes absolutely meaningless. And the guy who did this actually just took a couple parts of it out of context instead of reading the whole passage. You read the whole passage and there's no, as far as I'm concerned, there's really no need for any argument. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Little children, don't let anyone deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. Not the dude who says, oh, yeah, well, I'm righteous, but yeah, I know I'm not doing righteousness, but I am righteous because Jesus says so. Yeah, he says I'm righteous, therefore I am. Even though I'm not actually doing the righteous acts, I'm righteous. Little children, let no man deceive you. 1 John 3. Little children, little kids. I want to explain to you so simply. And someone once said, as a child could understand it, he that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as the Lord. So let's not walk naked, let's not walk in shame, let us walk boldly to the throne of grace. We've received grace, the grace which enables us to do according to all these promises. You know, when I talked about that perfecting holiness passage, that one also mentions the promises. Seeing as we have these promises, dearly beloved. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, first verse. Perfecting holiness. Read it. Tell me what you think it means. You know, and I'll tell you what, for every, you know, dude with a lexicon or with a education in Greek, who's going to, basically, what I consider tool abuse, is they basically abuse their knowledge to try to make a subtle nuance of language into a sort of a law. Well, you know, we'll just let this stuff pass.
What they're saying is that when it says commit sin, that don't get the impression that that means a single act of sin somehow disqualifies you. They want to say that you have to be sinning habitually. And so you can still be born of God and commit random acts of sin. Well, that whole thing is put to the lie when he says the same thing about righteousness. He that does righteousness is righteous. You can't just commit single random acts of righteousness and be called righteous. You have to habitually do righteousness. And as I said, the thrust of the whole passage renders that kind of argumentation meaningless.
I want you to have great confidence in the faith, but I don't want you to think you've attained anything until you have attained everything.
Don't let them do that to you. The scriptures are simple. Verse 16.